Okay, well, good morning, everyone. It is 11:12 on June 14th, and I'm calling the meeting to order. My name is Craig Alderson. I'm the secretary of the board. My understanding is that Carol Travis, the chair, is en route, and Ramses Town-Nichols is also en route, the vice chair. So since neither of them is here, the chain of command devolves to me. This is my Alexander Haig moment, I guess. So what I'm proposing to do, and I should say before we get underway as well, that I received news that Mel Sanders, the representative from KFCF, may have resigned his position with their board. I haven't received any communication from him, so I don't know what his position is with respect to our board. I've sent him an email, and I'm waiting for a response. So he may be here, he may not. But in any case, what I propose to do here is I cannot manage both my secretarial responsibilities and chair this body. And what I'm proposing to do after I call roll is to ask Burton White to chair, and I hope that's will be amenable to everybody. I'll do this formally after the roll call, after we get underway. So with that said, let me start the roll call. Let me find my piece of paper. Okay, so Alderson, that's me, and I am here. Boschman, and Boschman is not here. Bernstein is not here. Edwards-Tiekert is not here. Urkola is here. Fuentes is here. Gans. Gans is here. Goldmacher is not here. Gowen.
Here.
Gowen is here. Hernandez is not here. Johnson. Johnson is not here. Coburn.
Present.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil.
Here.
Kurzweil is here. Moore.
Present.
Moore is here. Morgan.
Here.
Morgan is here. Pritchett. Pritchett is here. Sanders. Sanders is not here. Sawyer.
Here.
Sawyer is here. Sterling is not here. Town-Nichols. Town-Nichols is not here. Travis. Travis is not here. Welsh.
Yes.
Welsh is here. Whipperman.
Here.
Whipperman is here. White.
Here.
White is here. Wilkinson.
Here.
Wilkinson is here. So that's 15 present and a quorum, 10 absent. Okay, and so I would like to propose that Burton White, who was the chair in 2013, serve as chair temporarily until Carol Travis or Ramses Town-Nichols arrive. Is that acceptable to folks? Any objection to that? Okay, great, thanks. Burton, come on up. Before we do that, let me just ask if anybody has any motions to excuse members. Okay, Janet, and then Margie.
Yes, I move to excuse Cynthia Johnson. She is not. She's 3,000 miles away.
And Frank Sterling.
Okay, and Margie.
Tina Boschman, who's at a wedding, Brian Edwards-Tiegert, and Mal Bernstein, both of whom are out of town.
Okay.
Did we get everybody?
Brian.
I got Brian.
Let me check. And let's see, Brian, Tina, and Mal. Bernstein.
Mm-hmm.
No, there are 10 absent here.
Who are the? Oh, well.
I guess I would move, if it's okay, that we just excuse all absent members. Is that
fine? Second.
Any objection? Okay.
I never expected to be back in this position, even temporarily.
I move that the agenda be approved.
Thank you very much. There's been a motion to approve the agenda. Is there a second? I'm sorry, did I hear a second? Yes. Any discussion? I see two hands. I see Andrea and Joy and Janet. Andrea?
Yeah. Point of order. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I just wanted to note for all the audience members, we do have a sign-up sheet at the back. It's next to the sink back there. So if you do want to speak during the public comments period, be sure to put your name. Or if you don't want to state your name, John Doe or Anonymous Number 1 and 2 and so forth.
I have noticed the following people requesting recognition. Andrea, Joy, and Janet. Have I missed anyone? Andrea, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'd like to, I made a mistake. Craig asked me to send the rest of my motion. I didn't realize, I just overlooked it, so my apologies. What I'd like to do is ask that we yet again table the discussion of a policy under old business, KPFA policy regarding calling police. I'd like to table that until the next meeting, please. I would like to table the item listed under old business until the next meeting.
Second.
And I'll give a proper, a complete version of the resolution.
And that's number 14, if I'm following you correctly.
Correct, yes. Thank you.
Okay. A request or motion has been made to table
the motion.
Pardon?
Second the motion.
It has been seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, any objection? So ordered. Joy.
I would like to suggest an addition under that same, under old business, of a report back on the racism workshop that was held in May. I would like to hear how it went and what we are going to do further or whatever. Samsara or anyone else would like to care to share about that workshop.
Second the motion.
Would you like to put a suggested time?
I don't know. Whatever time we had for the KPFA policy regarding calling police. That way the time will stay the same.
Okay, just all
yes.
Right. So my understanding of the motion, and is that acceptable to the seconder, is that in essence we are going to, if this is passed, just substitute for that 20-minute segment and have a report on the racism workshop.
Yes.
Any discussion? Any opposition? Hearing none, it is so ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Janet.
And Janet.
Yes, I'd like to move that item C under new business, the resolution regarding morning mix, be moved to be item A under new business.
It has been moved and seconded that on the agenda, item 15, that is, what is now item C, become item A, and the rest move down. Is that correct?
Yes, and I would like to motivate that, if I can.
Okay, you may. The reason why I'm hesitating is that there may be no objection. Let me check it. Pardon? Is there any objection to that request? Rather than to A.
What?
Rather than to A?
Yes.
Okay, then I guess we have to deal with it. Do motivate you.
That's a substitute, though. It's not amendment.
Yeah, it's a substitute.
It's a substitute. All right.
Can we take up the substitute?
First, yep. Okay. Do you have a desire to discuss, to motivate your reason for?
Is it seconded?
Oh,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, second.
Well, hold on a second, Mr. Paul. Has the substitute motion been seconded? Has the substitute motion been seconded? It has been seconded. By the way, I see that Member Goldmacher has arrived. Okay. If you would motivate.
I think due to the urgency in view of rumors flying about sale of the stations, I think we need to discuss today, we need to discuss resolution on the sale of Pacifica licenses. I think that's the priority.
Thank you. Janet?
Yes, well, I agree that there is urgency about that. However, I'm going to speak against that substitute motion because locally there has been activity here canceling a program, Morning Mix, and most of the people here in the audience are here for that motion, and I'd like to find out how many people are here for that motion. Would you raise your hand? So in respect to them, I would propose to not do that substitute motion, but to have that be in position B instead of A.
All right, my friends, so that we can proceed in as swift a way as we possibly can, it is the sense of the temporary chair that an understanding has been expressed in support of each of the two ideas before you, rather than taking up a whole lot of time. I'm going to propose that we move into a vote on the substitute motion so that we can get into the substance of the meeting. Does anyone have an objection to that suggestion? All right, hearing none. All those in favor of the substitute motion, which essentially is that C become B rather than A. All in favor of C becoming B rather than A in the order of new business, please indicate by raising your right hand. All those opposed? I can visually see. Do you need to take an actual count? It's clear that the substitute motion does not pass. We now move to a vote on the original motion, which is that C be moved to position A. All those in favor of that adjustment to the agenda, please indicate by raising your right hand. That's okay, we just won't count you. All those opposed? The adjustment to the agenda has been approved by the board.
So C becomes A.
C becomes A. Is there anything further with regard to the approval of the agenda? With that in mind, I'm going to ask the board to vote on the agenda as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? It is passed. We are now on item number 4. Margie?
I have a procedural
please.
Please.
I'm sorry. I had a brain blip. The motion on the 3-minute time rule is a standing rule, right? Never mind. I have nothing to say. I volunteer to do the time.
Okay. If I had a sword, I would ask Margie to kneel, and I would tap her on the shoulder and name her as the timekeeper. We now turn to item number four, the approval of the minutes. Let me turn this microphone. There is a motion to approve the minutes as submitted. I hear a second. Is there any discussion? Janet.
Well, it does say that under item 8, the written report, my written report is attached, and I don't see it attached here. So.
That's correct. I usually don't send attachments around and for the minutes approval. I did send them around to everybody last night by email, and that's not just this attachment, but it's the treasurer's reports, it's the CAB report, it's all the reports that usually go as attachments. And I've never done that, so that's why it's not attached.
Does that explanation suffice for now, Janet?
Well, I'm just wondering how the public will see.
They'll be posted along with the minutes when the minutes are posted after the minutes are approved.
And I see the nonverbal approval of that. Thank you very much, Janet. Anything further on the minutes before I put it to you for approval? Any other ideas about correction? Hearing none, may all those in favor of approving the minutes as submitted and with the explanation of how they will be posted, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Hearing none, it is unanimously approved.
On procedure.
Yes, sir. Jack, get a mic, please. It's hiding.
According to the agenda, the next item is public comment. There are 30 minutes allotted for that. I see a large number of people here who have come presumably to participate in public comment. I would ask the chair to allot time in a manner that we do not under any circumstances exceed the 30 minutes.
May I see the sign up sheet?
Point of order.
Hold on, I hear a point of order and I will recognize you in just a moment, Janet. But where's the sign up sheet? Okay, it's coming. Janet, go ahead.
Oh, well, maybe I didn't hear right, but the next agenda item is announcements.
Okay.
But
Jack and I stand corrected. Thank you, Janet. We are now in a period of announcements at time and limit on the agenda is 5 minutes, and for some reason the first hand and only hand I've seen is Joy's. I didn't see. Hold on a second. Keep your hands up, please. Joy, Andrea, taking you in geographic order. Janet, Margie. Anybody to my geographic right? Okay. So far it's Joy, Andrea, Janet, and Margie. Joy, you have the floor. Oh, I'm saved.
First, I want to make announcement. The 38th class of the apprenticeship program is graduating on the last Friday of this month, and we'd like to invite you all. Somebody tell me the last Friday in a month. Oh, that's my phone. The 27th, we have our graduation at the Harriet Tubman Senior Center beginning at 6 o'clock. Also, Juneteenth.
Could
location?
It's the Harriet Tubman Senior Center. It's at Adeline and Milvia Street. I don't know the exact address. I'm sorry. I'm woefully unprepared.
It's Harriet.
Okay. How about this?
It's Adeline and Russell.
Thank you. There's a Juneteenth celebration this Sunday, which is also Father's Day. There will be an outreach booth there, and the Healthy Child Initiative will be there, and that's the proposal to charge a 1 penny an ounce tax on sweetened beverages. I'd like to ask for all of you to support that. And finally, there's going to be a panel on water rights and water access at 1:30 at the Black Repertory Theater in the Juneteenth celebration, and that's a very important event, and I'd like to encourage you all to attend that as well. Thanks.
Andrea.
Thank you. Good morning. I just wanted to alert people to the issue of tasers that's happening in Berkeley, that the Berkeley City Council voted to approve authorizing the city manager to conduct a study on whether or not the Berkeley police should be given tasers to use. Many of us are opposed to that. I have some literature here, and I also have a petition that I invite you to sign. The report is going to come up September 9th. They're going to report back to the city council, and we'd like to make a strong showing around people who say no to tasers.
Janet.
Yes. This facility, the North Berkeley Senior Center, was sprayed with toxic pesticide last week, June 6th, 7th, I think, 5th. This kind of pesticide spray results in people who are vulnerable to such chemicals not being able to really be here. In any case, so I would like to propose that this board look into that issue and talk to the center and maybe take this up in the future, because I mean we do make the meetings accessible to wheelchair people in wheelchairs, but this is another issue.
Margie.
Joy made the announcement I wanted to make about Juneteenth.
I'm hearing the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Joy said what I wanted to say about Juneteenth. It's at between Ashby and Alcatraz on Adeline. It's a fabulous event, and there's all kinds of education. One of the programs that is in my neighborhood that I support, Youth Spirit Artworks, will have a table there. They'll be selling the wonderful things that they make, bags, cups, stuff like that. And I urge everybody to spend a day in the sun and go.
For the record, Carol Travis and Ramses Tao Nichols have arrived. Apologies. Public comments. First is Sasha Futron. What? Yes?
Jack.
Yes.
I ask that the time allotted for each speaker be tailored to the number of people who are requesting to speak so that we can stay within the 30 minutes allotted for public comment on the agenda.
We have 11 people who have signed up. I don't know. Has everybody signed up who wanted to speak?
That's 32 minutes. Let's do 33.
Okay, I just wanted to check. Okay. All right, so we'll do
Excuse
3 minutes.
Me, does that mean that the list is now closed?
The list is now closed. And who is our timekeeper? Okay, and Andrea?
I'm just curious about the closing of the list. Because I think sometimes, I'm just curious, where with the authority?
It's on the basis of the motion of the 30 minutes, and so that we can get to the business of the LSB. I believe that's what it is. And so everybody who's on the list will get 3 minutes. Otherwise, if you want to leave the list open, we'll do 2 minutes and we'll close after 30 minutes.
Do we vote on that?
Not yet, but I mean, do you want to vote on that?
Not
or do you want to go with
I just kind of like to be sort of nice and let everybody who want to speak, speak.
For how long?
No more than 3 minutes.
Okay, and in any case.
Can I offer a counter motion then if they were going to go like that?
Sure.
Substitute motion that people be allowed to speak for 3 minutes.
With no closing time.
Yeah, I don't feel like we're in danger of that. That won't be what
okay,
drags
this
meeting
under,
really.
Okay, that's a substitute motion. Is there a second? I asked if that. Does anybody else want to raise their? Here. How many people are? All right. So the substitute motion is that people speak for 3 minutes, and there's no closing time to public comments. And seconded. All in favor of that, please raise your hands.
Ten yes.
No. It passes. All right. Can I have the list back so, or can people? I think Sasha was the first one. On the list? Yes.
Hi, my name is Sasha Futrin. I've worked in broadcasting in the media, and I've served on this board. I know many of you are aware of the fact that there were some resolutions passed this past week by both the San Francisco Labor Board and Council, rather, and the Gray Panthers, and I understand there are others before, other bodies. And I wanted to share with you a letter I wrote to the two first folks who passed this resolution. And first of all, I'm not going to read you the whole letter. I'll just tell you what the points are. I want to start with the point of how the morning mix was created. And that morning mix, and I'm privy to this because I was on that faction, and I was intimately privy, not involved, but privy to how that was created. It was created with the sole purpose of removing somebody who was on the air during drive time from the air, and they actually had a devil of a time getting five hosts for the program at first, and they didn't think it was particularly good when it went on the air. So those are the same people who are now supporting both the morning mix and Summer Reese and her occupation of the national office, her breaking and entering, etc., and bringing lawsuits against Pacifica, just so we get the cast of characters straight here. Anyway, it's on in our morning drive time, which is the most important time of the day. And the reason for that is not just having to do with fundraising, but it's how we start our day. And that's when you have the most listeners. And I've been lucky enough to be at the station and have staff show me on numerous occasions the online listeners, which you can actually see through a program, that are on the air at any given time of the day. And you can watch when the morning mix went on the air, the sharp, I mean, sharp decline in listenership, and when it went off the air, the gradual increase back in time. And by the way, in their new 3:30 time slot, the same is true. There's a sharp decline and then a very gradual increase when a new program comes on the air. So we have to build back an audience from just about zero. So those of you who are fans of the morning mix, I want you to keep that, please, sharply in mind. You're talking about reaching the community about community issues, and you're reaching no one. I would suggest, and I didn't put this in the letter, but I would suggest that those people who would like to be hosts go through the apprenticeship program and learn how to do radio, and not start out in drive time, the most precious time of the day. The other thing is that the morning mix is still on the air. I mean, all those shows are on the air. They're just in a different time slot, which is far more suited to the number of listeners that we get. I want you all to also think about all the people who are in support of this and the drivel, and I call it drivel, misinformation, comments taken out of context that are put out before people on a very regular basis, and the kind of damage that does to this station and the foundation. And I want you to please look at how that breaks, because you don't see other people who, when they were not in power, the power shift is just very recent. They were not breaking and entering into offices and sleeping there 24/7. They were not suing the station. They were not running up bills. They acted in a dignified and professional manner. They were no longer in the majority. They were no longer in the majority. They voted. They attended meetings. They did what they could. And I would suggest that those of you who are working so hard in causing the decline of our existence to please stop and reconsider your actions. Thank you.
Steve Gilmartin.
Hi. KPFA has its haves and have-nots, just like society at large. The haves are portions of the paid staff, the pockets of power in the station, where decisions are made, rewards are granted, and punishments are meted out. The have-nots are the 80% majority in the station, the unpaid staff, barred from union representation when CWA came in, who do most of the behind-the-scenes work and a majority of the programming. And they do it with little station support or access to resources. This is a very sad thing in and of itself. But what makes it worse is that it has a direct impact on programming. The decision to remove the morning mix from AM drive time comes right out of the structure of inequality within the station. Community-oriented grassroots shows like the morning mix are exactly the kind of programming KPFA needs to be relevant to long-ignored and underserved Bay Area communities and the issues that affect them. KPFA culture needs to change into a collaborative, power-sharing one where unpaid staff and ignored listener communities are included and respected, and where key local issues are investigated and reported on. Otherwise, KPFA's listenership will continue to contract along with its political relevancy.
Daniel Borgstrom.
I'm Daniel Borgstrom. Two things. First, I want to make an announcement. Yeah, everybody knows about the resolution from the San Francisco Labor Council and a group, East Bay Veterans for Peace, also has voted to co-endorse that. Okay. Now for another thing. For myself, I guess everybody knows I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps. And I also want to say that I'm very proud to say I took part in the recent occupation of the Pacifica HQ. That's not the only occupation I've taken part in. I took part in going back to 1971. I and a bunch of veterans, we occupied the South Vietnamese consulate, the puppet government consulate. I also took part, and that was controversial too. There were people who didn't like that. We were on trial for 4 weeks before we were acquitted. Also took part in Occupy. In Occupy San Francisco, I had guns pointed at me. I could go on. Now, people sometimes ask me, Daniel, why did you join the Marine Corps? And the short answer is, because where I lived, there was no KPFA. KPFA is traditionally anti-war, flat out anti-war. Today, that's questionable. There are people like featured hosts, like John Prendergast and others supposedly espousing human rights, and that implying that the U.S. military can do a lot of good by going in and resolving problems in these various countries. Well, that sounds great, but it's not anti-war and it's not reality. And I'm very worried about this drift. Is it just a drift, or is it more than a rushing thing? It's something that's really moving towards this on KPFA. Is KPFA going to be a clear-cut anti-war station as it traditionally has been, or is it going to change? That is, and that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Stan Woods.
Hello, I'm Stan Woods. I'm a former member of the local station board and of the program council, now defunct program council. And the latter is particularly relevant to the issue at hand. When I was on the program council for a total of about 2.5 years, we discussed and debated many controversial programs, many issues. No faction dominated it. We had, and I've always been partisan, I've always been with a faction, but no faction dominated. I'll be real upfront about that. We had staff members, paid and unpaid. We had listener reps, both from the board and from the community selected by the board. And if an issue like the relocation, forced relocation of the morning mix shows that came before the board, it would have been discussed and debated for weeks. There wouldn't have been a fiat from above. And that's very important for a station like KPFA. I want to add a few other things. There were some remarks made denigrating the host of the morning mix. Well, David D., I think, is one of the best people on the radio nationally. For example, if people who don't think he has a base are really, really sadly mistaken. I live near Lake Merritt in Oakland. Davey does also. He happens to, it's jokingly called his office hours at a Starbucks near where we live. And sometimes there's really a line of people, and not the usual suspects, UPS drivers, Teamsters, others, waiting to talk to him because what they heard on his show. For him to be taken off the morning is a real bad mistake. Another is Andrea Soto. I live in Oakland, not in Richmond or El Sobrante. But he also really has a base in that area of Contra Costa County. I think people are tragically mistaken if they think he doesn't. And Project Censored, come on, forget about it. I mean, come on. Project Censored has had collectively their books, their annual editions, have sold a total of 1 million copies over the last 15 years. Their show is very highly listened to. It's been a real fundraiser for the station, even though I don't think the monetary, what people raise or don't raise should be the main criteria. We're not NPR after all, right? And so I think, one last point about the San Francisco Labor Council. I want to mention that some of the delegates who voted for this resolution calling for the restoration of worker radio, I didn't mention that, and the others are ones who voted with the majority faction resolution several years ago against the layoffs at KPFA. So they weren't people just naturally allied with those of us in the minority faction. So I think it's really hurting the station and the network to have these shows relocated to much less listened to time. Thank you.
Marilyn Langois. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your name.
Good morning. My name is Marilyn Langlois, and I'm here today representing the Richmond Progressive Alliance. The Richmond Progressive Alliance has voted to express its support for keeping the morning mix in the drive time of 8 to 9 a.m. on weekday mornings. We find this is a really excellent program that projects a lot of voices from the community on topics of general interest, both in Richmond and throughout the Bay Area. We've had great feedback from our local residents as well as activists all over the Bay Area. In particular, Andres Soto's show, which has been mentioned, covers not only Richmond issues, which, let's face it, Richmond is currently on the cutting edge of progressive initiatives in the Bay Area, and many people are interested in that. He also covers issues of housing, violence prevention, environmental justice, Native American rights, racial issues, immigrant rights, and international topics too, with really interesting guests from Haiti, El Salvador, Cuba and many places. So we really urge you to adopt the resolution that's on the agenda to bring the morning mix back to the prime drive time, because we think people in our listening area need to hear these voices of the community, and the Richmond Progressive Alliance will be writing a letter to that effect to the station management. Thank you.
Virginia Browning.
The reason that that was given by the manager for moving the morning mix was financial, and the financial 10-year totals show that Sonali Kolhatkar's show brought in about $3 different average in than the morning mix brought in, despite the fact that there was no training or support encouraged for the morning mix. There was, okay, you can say that it was encouraged that they make use of Goal Busters, this couple who, when they were on the air, were not well listened to voices themselves and not exactly scintillating radio. But so in general, there was not only not support for the morning mix over the couple of years that it was on, but it was boycotted. Guests were actually called up by paid staff at KPFA and told them not to appear on the show, including union members, lifelong union members, who were told that if they did, they would be scabs. So in addition to that, it wasn't promoted on other shows, actively promoted. When we asked the manager in public about that, he said anybody can promote anything. Well, since the people that are in charge of the so-called traffic at KPFA promote their own things, it's lucky if they do get excellent promotion for the morning mix as they did for their own chosen shows that benefit the people who want to make money there. Now, there's so much to say. What Sasha Futrin said was almost the opposite of the truth in a lot of ways. When the morning show was taken off, her factions thing, they went on the airwaves numerous times on the news in the three, morning hour and evening, to decry it and put out disinformation about it and only their one-sided thing. So it's not true that they didn't do anything. In fact, they went all over the Bay Area. But what I want to say is that I think some of you are lifelong activists and care about world peace. Some of you on the board. I guess I won't name you. I don't want to embarrass you. But I do think some of you are here because you really care about justice and world peace and things like that. I would like to propose that we try and work together, those of us who aren't here to back up whatever infiltrators or weirdos are, top-downing this whole railroading here, and try and understand that if you care about things like this in a world that has global warming, all the things that are happening now, you should be wanting the local voices and supporting them here.
I'm Ann Garrison. I'm a KPFA and WBAI news and public affairs producer. First, I want to speak to KPFA's website. Excuse me. I have in the past argued that if KPFA really tells its audience what no one else will, as it constantly claims to do during the fund drive, then a top KPFA budget priority should be recreating the KPFA website so that news and public affairs segments generate Google search headlines that people will be able to find on the web, on their computers, and on their cell phones in the Bay Area and around the world. Blogs and private websites won't do that. They're not recognized by Google News. I no longer recommend that budget priority because, for one, KPFA so very rarely tells you what no one else will. For two, and probably more importantly, KPFA staff, for the most part, do not use the limited existing web technology now. So I wouldn't recommend spending another dime on it until they do. Second, I'm here to support the restoration of the morning mix to the 8 a.m. hour. When the old morning show was canceled, which was not a show I had a problem with, but when it was canceled Amy Ellison went to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors to speak to its importance as a source of local programming. I agree with her about that. I agree that the morning hours before most working people become unable to listen to live radio should be devoted to diverse local voices on local struggles within our FM signal area. Diversity is a good goal, but diversity is neither equity, justice, nor peace. And people of color are not fungible. Replacing 7 rotating hosts, including 2 black hosts and 1 Latino host, with 1 South African woman of color does not create diversity, and it does not promote equity, justice, or peace.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Okay, hi everyone. A couple of things. I mean, if you don't build anything local, then you won't have anything local. And this station is in danger of breaking its somewhat tenuous connections by refusing to essentially invest in building local talent, connecting with local organizations, and covering local issues in a meaningful way. And what's going to happen is if you break those connections, the station's base of support is going to get more and more and more fractured. And as we know, it's been dropping since 2006. Down, 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 down. Now down to about 70% of what it was in 2005. And you need to know what the reason is for that. It's got nothing to do with morning shows on, can morning shows off of all factional affiliations, because it started long before that. I actually know how Sonali got on the air at KPFK, and I'm going to talk about that for a second.
Can you deal with your cell phone, please?
Yeah, that's.
It.
Yeah, if you it'll go off in a second, or you can just press off. Okay, then just give it a second. It'll run out. The end. Okay. I actually know how Uprising and Sonali Kolhatkar got on the air in LA, and I'm going to talk about that for a second because it was in the upshot of another factional war within Pacifica, which our side, which at that point was all of us, won. And so the current station manager was sent out on a rail, and all the programming was decimated, and they stuck Sonali on with no radio experience whatsoever in prime time and said, let's see what you can do. Let's give it a try and let's see if we can build something local. Exactly what you are condemning having done here. That's how you build a station. That's how you build a show. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. You must cultivate and discover and generate local talent, not be afraid of that. Because in reality, Sonali Kolhatkar had less radio experience than any of the hosts on the morning mix. Any of them. If you look at the track record on her show, and the last point here is we really have to stop talking in funny money terms, because we've been doing quite a bit of that, and it doesn't really help. The track record, as Virginia says, for Sonali's show is $2,500 per hour. That's exactly the same as the morning mix average that you guys have presented to us in your forms. No different, and the show costs more to produce. That's not 3 minutes. 1 sec. I'm going to finish the sentence.
I said 30 seconds.
Okay,
I
yeah.
I gave you an extra 20 seconds for the time we were.
Thank you. So the reality is this is not caused by economic measures. The 10-year track record of a show at the same time of day, in a media market that is significantly bigger, gives you the data that you need to know about how that show is going to perform over the long run. That's how it's going to perform. That's how it does perform. So what I would say to you is let's stop with the funny money and let's talk about what we need to have a station whose membership is not going to drop by 30% over the next 8 years. It's already happened over the past 8 years. Thank you.
Brian Geiser. Greiser? Geiser.
Hi, my name is Brian. I live over near Lake Merritt as well, and you would normally only see me if you were over in Oakland, but twice now in the past 3 months I've showed up here, and it's because this is very important to me. I'll be honest, I appreciate Brian's program. I don't agree with what he does all the time, and I don't appreciate all the guests that he has. But it's an okay program. But I do have my issues with the new 8 p.m. or the new 8 a.m. show. Back in 2011, when it was aired at kind of a greatest hits version of it at 11 a.m. on Saturdays, I didn't mind listening to it if I was at home. But to be honest, it's not about the Bay Area. It's about L.A. And to be honest, I've listened to a couple of the programs now since it's been on, and it seems like it's kind of like fresh air on NPR. It's not really about the Bay Area. And I'll admit, I'm in the camp that really misses the 8 a.m. morning mix programs. Not that I have that great of a circle of acquaintances or whatnot, but I would always push KPFA, if only just for the morning mix programs, because it was news about what was happening here. And I really miss it. Project Censored, I really miss the Workweek Radio. I realize they're now in the afternoon. A couple of weeks have gone by now, and I still haven't listened to any of them via the web. I guess I'll have to hope to in the near future, but I'll be between the fundraising and the program changes, my listening to KPFA has gone down quite a bit. Not that I listen to anything else to make up for it, but I'm just worried about where the direction of the station is headed. So, thank you.
David Ledshema, is that? Yes.
Can you hear me? Yes. My name is David Ledesma. I'm from San Jose. I've been a member listener to KPFA for only maybe 10 or 11 years since I began my activism in 2003. And it took me, you know, a little while to see that there was some real divisional things going on at KPFA. It was really hard for me to understand and started doing my own research to find out what the hell's going on here. Because at the time I was glued to CNN and, you know, all the other corporate media stuff and began to look for alternatives. And the activist community down in San Jose would say, oh, you got to listen to KPFA. So I started listening, but I began to notice all these differences. And through my own research, I became clear what was going on. And, you know, I'm really concerned that the morning mix has been taken off the morning drive time slot, because it's really important to have the local activities that are going on, the hard work that people are doing, needs to be on the air. It just baffles me that, you know, an interim manager would make a decision to bring in a program from L.A. It makes me wonder, you know, what is this person's credentials to be able to make a decision in this way to do that? Not only that, but what is their track record in the past to be able to make these kinds of decisions? And so I decided, you know, I got to drive up here from San Jose this morning and at least make my voice be heard. I do counter recruitment on high school campuses for the last 9 years. I've been doing it twice a week, every week, for the last 9 years, trying to, you know, talk to young kids about the dangers of war and the military, like Daniel was talking about. May 20th, 1967, my oldest brother was killed in Vietnam. So, you know, I know what young people go through when they are approached by these young, by these recruiters to join the military. And I think it's really important that we provide local programming in the morning to get these issues to the public. I think that's the only way you're going to grow things. And if you don't work hard at it, it's not going to get done. To bring in another program, that's not to say anything bad about Sonali's program. It's just inappropriate, in my opinion, to bring in at that time of the day when they're, and admittedly, everybody agrees that that is the main listening audience. So I think local programming is where it should be, and I support the Morning Mix being put back in that time slot. Thank you.
Sharon Adams.
Hello. Yes, I'm Sharon Adams, and I'm vice president of the local chapter of the National Lawyers Guild and also yoga teacher on Saturday morning. This is actually my first time at one of these meetings, and I want to say thank you to KPFA. I have learned so much on KPFA, and it's because of what I've learned on KPFA and how much I love KPFA that I'm here. So I really just feel that what's happening right now, I was always confused before when I would hear the disputes and I couldn't understand. But this time when I heard the disputes, I was like, okay, I understand there's an issue, but what happened was during the pledge drive when the financial numbers were being generated, a decision was made without discussion. And it's the lack of transparency that brought me here. Because I think that as a community radio station, transparency is key. You know, and I hear numbers on both sides, actually, about the different shows and the different amounts that are generated, and I don't know the truth. How can I? None of us do unless we see the numbers. That's why the transparency is so important, and that's what brought me here, and I don't think transparency is a hard thing to achieve, and I think it's something that a board is particularly capable of doing. And that's what I would really just put for you, is to provide the transparency of the numbers. And the reason why I want to say, I in particular want to say the importance of KPFA and the local program. I've been fortunate enough to be on KPFA, and I've also been fortunate enough to have KPFA cover stuff. Because let me tell you, when you are an activist and you're out in the streets and nobody seems to care, you call KPFA and they show up. No, you can't undervalue that. And that is what is going to be lost. That's the part you guys are not quite grasping when you take all the Morning Mix people off and you put Sonali, who's in LA. I'm just going to share that, like, I know people here have worked with me, in fact, on certain campaigns. For example, Kayla Moore, transgender woman, crushed to death by 5 Berkeley police officers in her apartment on a mistaken warrant. Who showed up? KPFA, okay? And it's that kind of programming that brought me here. And on the Morning Mix in particular, I mean, just there's so many people that can be mentioned, but I'll just start. Tiny, poor news radio. Yep. Of course you can't generate a lot of money off of poor news radio. But guess what? The voice, the knowledge, the way she gets people out in the streets to protect actual elders whose homes are actually being taken by the macroeconomic policies. And let me just say on financials, I'm on the board of the guild, and I understand financials, and I run my own business, and I understand making a profit. But there's ways of looking at numbers, and that's why transparency is the key. So that's what I'm calling for.
Thank you so much.
And bring back the Morning Mix.
Max Blanchett.
I'm Max Blanchet. I served on the board years ago, and it was an interesting experiment. I thought I would talk very briefly about a couple of points. First of all, the person just talked about money. It's extremely important that we pursue that issue. We need to finish the audit that has not even been started. We have to be aware of it. Yes, there is a serious problem, a money problem in the institution at Pacifica and at KPFA. We are headed for bankruptcy. This is the reality of it. I've been following the finances for years. I take the time to read the bloody audit reports, and we have not conducted an audit for at least a year. And that's why we didn't get the money from CPB. This is very serious. I looked at the figure for last year, based on a report that appeared late last year. They are showing that expenses exceeded income by $1.8 million. And things are not getting better because we are not getting the money from CPB. This is contingent on completion of the audit that has not been started. Let's not screw around. We are facing bankruptcy again. That's the reality of it. And the board should be facing its responsibility to push the powers that be, in spite of the divisions that are real, to complete the audit. That's essential, okay? As for the morning mix, I think it's a good experiment. It wasn't perfect, we understand that, but it dealt with local issues. And when we talk programming, we should be talking about cost-benefit analysis across the board that has not been done, that has that to be done in transparency. That's what we need to talk intelligently about programming in this institution. It's not just KPFA, it's Pacifica across the board. Okay. Last but not least, that program from LA, was it, what do they call it?
Uprising.
Uprising. I don't know why they call it uprising. Yeah. That doesn't make sense to me. I'll stop here. Thank you.
That concludes the public comments section of the agenda. And next we have the interim general manager's report. Richard.
The report is in just three. Oh, I'm sorry. That's why we have a microphone, so I don't have to talk louder.
Turn it up for him, baby.
The report covers just three subjects. The first is the summer fund drive. KPFA will begin its summer fund drive on Monday, July 28th. It is scheduled to run until August 8th. The dollar goal for the 12-day drive is $363,830, making a daily average of $30,320. The feasibility of using a full-service phone operation is still being explored. At the very least, the drive will use a rollover service in the same way the successful spring drive did. Some concern has been expressed that the rollover service simply took donations from callers who could not get through to the station's telephone room that otherwise would have gone to the website. But the numbers tell a different story. In the three drives prior to the first use of a rollover service, web donations accounted for approximately 11.3% of the drive's total. In the 2014 winter drive, the web percentage dropped to 11.06%, with the rollover service bringing in 3.08% for a combined total of 14.14% and approximately $91,000. The spring drive totals were 7.78% for web donations, 20.83% from the rollover service for a combined 28.61% and approximately $218,000. Clearly, in the pre-rollover service drives, KPFA was leaving money on the table. With the rollover service, many more calls are answered and much more money is raised. Going from a rollover service to a full phone service for the summer drive offers the potential for everything from full PCI compliance and instantaneous processing of credit cards to streamlined data entry and transmission, while freeing up phone volunteers to assist in other areas of pledge drive and station operations. Thus, it is easy to understand why rollover and full phone services are much like single-payer national health care. While there are and always will be some whom offer complaints, no entity which moves forward to make the switch ever goes back to the way things were. Development. The consulting firm Goalbusters is putting together a report which I will email to this board as soon as I receive it. It will cover the firm's work to date at and for KPFA, what it is now pursuing, and what it envisions for the short-term future. The report will cover changes to the comprehensive campaign as well as enhanced forms focus on grant writing, donor list outreach, major gift cultivation, and other off-air revenue streams. But there is one aspect of the report which everyone in this room must now start to address. It is what Alice Ferris and Jim Anderson of Goalbusters refer to as the trust issue. It seems that while many of KPFA's donors have been with Pacifica and the station for the long haul, while they have witnessed many ups and downs, the past few years are somehow different. They are becoming increasingly hesitant about giving. They express openly their fear that they don't know where the money they donate is going. Will it really improve programming and services? Or is it headed to New York? Or Washington, D.C.? Or to an attorney defending Pacifica and/or the station in yet another lawsuit? And once again, Pacifica finds itself suing itself. The donors are very open about their concerns regarding what they see as a blatant political battle for political control of programming and the station by the two major caucuses, caucuses which they perceive as intent on serving themselves and not the listeners. As Alice and Jim were relating all this to me, I couldn't help but think of a scene from an old movie. In the film Meet John Doe, the hero barges into a plush dinner party to find out if the rumors he has heard are true. As the leader of a movement that espouses brotherhood and do unto others, the Pacifica of its day, he is shocked to find that the patrons of his movement are scheming to take it over and use the movement for their own personal and political gain. He glares at the assembled fat cats and tells them, "Your type is as old as history. If you can't lay your dirty fingers on a decent idea and twist it and squeeze it and stuff it into your pockets, you slap it down. Like dogs, if you can't eat something, you bury it. Why, this is the one worthwhile thing that's come along. It may be the one thing capable of saving this cockeyed world, yet you sit back there on your fat hulks and tell me you'll kill it if you can't use it. Well, you go ahead and try. You couldn't do it in a million years." Of course, John Doe, along with being an activist, was also an idealist. A decent idea, a service organization, a radio station can all be killed. And right now, each one of us is bearing witness as to how that can be done. There are far too many people in this room looking at KPFA as if it were a mirror. If they don't see enough of themselves in the reflection, they are more than willing to throw stones at it until it shatters. As far as many of our donors and listeners are concerned, it is just about to break. They're not in this room, and they don't belong to either caucus. They have seen and read all the negative press, the constant fighting, the all-too-public internet exchanges, the ever-narrowing focus on pleasing those at the station and in the caucuses at the expense of the broader public which we are all pledged to serve. They can't help but question whether KPFA can be saved, or even if it should be saved. Can they find a more stable organization, more deserving of their charitable giving? They can, they have, and in ever-increasing numbers, they will continue to do so. I have no simple, easy solutions to the trust issue, and I don't think there are any. This board will have to develop a plan of action for what will probably be a long, slow, and difficult process. But I will offer one bit of advice. It is a way to frame the thoughts which motivate your actions. I would ask you to think like a manager, but we all know that isn't going to happen. So instead, think like a programmer. As an individual, you have the same right to free speech as everyone else. But interestingly, as a programmer, you don't. The FCC says you can't say certain words or even suggest certain actions. Pacifica and KPFA say you can't air dirty laundry. And if, as a programmer, you are unwilling to live up to what is demanded of you and your position, if you insist that you have every right to say whatever you want, whenever you want to, you will be suspended, fined, and taken off the air. As an individual, you have every right to protest, criticize, and legally bring down any entity you deem worthy of such action. But as a KPFA LSB member, there is one entity protected from your righteous indignation, KPFA. As a board member, you have fiduciary responsibilities to the station, the most basic definition of which means that KPFA has been entrusted to you. You must hold it, support it, protect it, and at the end of your tenure, turn it over to others, hopefully in better shape than when you started. If you, as a board member, are unwilling to live up to what is demanded of you and your position, if you feel you have the right to tear down KPFA for any reason, if you feel you must burn the village in order to save it, then you are in violation of all you have sworn to uphold and have no choice but to resign. You can destroy the station, or you can serve as a board member, but you can't do both. Programming. The coverage maps I distributed are, even by radio locator's admission, generous. They offer the high ground of what should be, whereas those listeners living all across the maps will tell you what actually is. Still, they do present a good picture of the size of our over-the-air listening community, the ones we are obliged to serve with our signal. Page 1 shows KPFA signal coverage. Page 3 shows KFCF in the Fresno region. On weekdays at 8 a.m., those two regions offer us the largest, most diverse audience available to us. KPFA can, if it so chooses, and in the past it has, use this time to narrowly focus on a small segment of that very large available audience. And by doing so, it will never recoup at any other time of the day, at any other place in the weekly schedule, the numbers it loses with regard to listenership and revenue. In study after study, in decade after decade, stations in large competitive markets succeed or fail, live or die, depending on whether they try to reach as many listeners as possible during peak times with the most consistent programming of the broadest appeal, or whether they offer a patchwork quilt of inconsistent, narrowly focused shows with decidedly limited appeal. But what if a station decides that what it deems important should be aired at peak drive time, no matter how few listeners it attracts and how little revenue it generates? Now, I know all of you just love it when I use baseball analogies. So here's an apt one. The most important player on a baseball diamond is the pitcher. I don't say this as an old pitcher. Everyone on the team agrees. No one is more vital to the team's success on a consistent basis than the person on the mound. If the pitcher is throwing well, the team has the best chance of winning. If the pitcher is throwing poorly, the team is most likely to lose. So clearly, when making out the batting order, the manager puts the pitcher in the most important slot. Well, no, that doesn't happen. The pitcher invariably bats last, so that those who can't pitch, those who are less important, can deliver what is needed from the batting lineup in order to win. Baseball and radio are team sports. In order to be successful, it takes various types of people with differing skill sets put in positions where the team or the station can most benefit from what each individual has to offer. If anyone or everyone in this room feels that locally produced, narrowly focused, unpaid, radical programming is the most important offering KPFA and Pacific can make to the listening community, I will not and have no need to argue the point. But if you don't have some other kinds of programming which can deliver the listeners to justify our signal strength and the revenues to pay the station's bills, there will be no station to offer any kind of programming. You don't need studies to confirm this. You need only to look to New York. For over 10 years, WBAI has embodied it. And if not for KPFA and KPFK bailing it out, it would have gone under long ago. If you choose to follow WBAI down that path, and believe me when I say that it will take other changes to the schedule and more, way more promotion to avoid it, please remember that there is no station in Pacifica to bail out KPFA. And that is why this interim general manager did what he did with regard to the recent change in the schedule. But you did not follow proper process. I don't know about that. I checked in with the IED in advance to tell him what I was planning to do. He gave his enthusiastic approval. As for the history of process at KPFA, Let's stroll down memory lane to the last time a show was added to Drive Time. After two Fosters and three choruses of Waltzing Matilda, or maybe the other way around, former IGM Andrew Phillips told me that 7 a.m. was bloody cratering. And so, bloody cratering. Cratering was the term he used. And so, even though he had told a group of programmers he was not going to make any moves, he placed the locally generated program up front on the schedule at 7 a.m. At the time, one KPFA caucus favored this action and supported it, while the other cried for process. The last time a Drive Time program was not just rescheduled, but canceled, again, it came with no warning, no consultation. Termination letters were handed out, and suddenly, the morning show was gone. At the time, one KPFA caucus favored this action and supported it, while the other cried for process. Now, I'm sure everyone in this room is a committed, principled idealist. But when it comes to calls for process, I'm afraid your partisan political slip is showing. Process seems to be something one caucus calls for when it wants to slow down change or bury it under a mudslide of procedures. Nothing in Pacifica is determined by consensus because no one is ever able to generate it. Still, if you wish to develop a nonpartisan process for programming and scheduling, I heartily encourage you to do so. Set up a committee, a programming council, take the process out of management's domain and give it to the LSB. But when you do, make sure you hand over all responsibility for the success of programming and all that it must do for the station to the entity with all the authority over programming. Because if you don't, whoops, we're back in WBAI land again. Didn't you tell programmers you weren't going to make any changes shortly before you did? Yes, that's true. When they asked me, all I knew was that Uprising was scheduled as the all-too-necessary preemption at 8 a.m. during the last week of Fund Drive because the morning mix as a whole does not deliver the necessary revenue for that slot and has not for 3 years. But if Uprising had failed for any reason, and there were many, if it had failed to generate the necessary monies, if it drew fewer listeners and dollars than the morning mix, then not only would it not have become a part of the schedule, it would have been preempted later in that week. As a manager, I am not and cannot be politically invested in any program. I cannot promulgate or subsidize failure. In this case, I did not have to. The numbers, both in terms of streaming listeners and revenue, more than justified the decision. Weren't you intimidated by a certain caucus to make the change just before you left? Yes, this is also true. During the fund drive, Margie Wilkinson came to the GM's office, kicked down the door, reached across the desk, grabbed me by the collar, lifted me up off my feet, slammed me into the wall, and said, "Listen, punk, you put Uprising on at 8 a.m. or else." Come on, folks. Go. I think you slammed me twice, though, right? Come on, folks. Going back to last year, in the first iteration of the schedule changes and all that followed, I had Uprising listed at 8 a.m., and for all the reasons I have stated earlier. If I could make just one move, and it appears that was all I could do at best, then I would take the most important hour for listenership and revenue and do what I could to help the station. Didn't you do this to get back at Summer Reese for blocking your changes? I have absolutely no animus towards Summer Reese, and she has little, if any, toward me. In fact, if she were to make a list of all the people in this room and rank them in terms of whom she likes and respects, I'm pretty sure I'd rank a lot higher in that batting order than most of the folks in this room, including some of the folks who say they are on her side. She is not the first supervisor to overrule me, and she won't be the last. And if you happen to reread the email that she sent to me and that I forwarded to the staff, please note that she commended me for starting a data-driven process to achieve necessary change. If she were still the ED, I am certain there would be changes to the schedule, and some of them would be ones I suggested. For me, that's fine, because I never expect to get all I want, and I'm usually grateful for whatever good I can achieve. Have you gone over to
The dark side? Well, duh. I'm the money-grubbing GM. At any community media outlet, I am always the dark side, dealing with money and other things that governance would rather avoid. Are you trying to curry favor with the majority caucus? Oh, yeah. You mean so I can be manager for life at KPFA? No, there is nothing either caucus can do to help me up here or down in Los Angeles. I am not eligible to be a part of any caucus. As a manager, making politically motivated decisions will not serve the listeners, the station, or even my employment prospects. I've managed media outlets for over 30 years. Pacifica was not my first employer, and it is certainly not going to be my last. I have never, never made politically motivated decisions. I never will. And oddly enough, that is one of the reasons Pacifica hired me. If not politically motivated, how do you explain that one caucus is in favor of the change and one isn't? Well, I'll cite the law of averages. Unlike the proposed schedule changes, which both caucuses opposed, every blue moon I do something which will appeal to a given side. My motivations are dictated by my responsibilities. The caucuses do not have my responsibilities and have their own criteria. Sometimes the stars align. Most of the time, they don't. Well, we will have more protests, we will have more people sign petitions, and more emails sent out to have the changes rescinded. Since this was a data-driven decision, the data created by those actions need to be held up against the other data. If people show up for a protest, there is no way of knowing if they listen to or support a show. If people sign petitions or write emails, there is no way of knowing how many listen or support the show. As an example, the petition now has, the online petition now has over 200 names. When it reached 175, I asked our data guru, Chris Stelic, to tell me how many had donated to the station in the last 2 years. The number was 78, considerably less than half. But if people are willing to hold up a sign against Uprising, they may be willing to put up a poster promoting the morning mix. If people will send emails to the station, maybe they will email their friends and colleagues urging them to listen to the morning mix. If some folks will sign a petition, perhaps more of them will sign checks to support KPFA. Generating more listeners and more revenue is the type of data that can and should impact programming and scheduling if the station is to survive. Protest can be a very effective hammer, but not every situation is a nail. What kind of protest is going to save the network? What kind of petition is going to turn things around at WBAI, WPFW, and KPFT? If these problems are not addressed, no matter what is done to KPFA's schedule, the network will die. To save the network, you will need to make difficult decisions which none of you will like. Management has to do that every day. Governance must learn to do that. They must learn to do the same in order to ensure that this service organization continues to serve.
Okay. I guess we'll take some questions. Okay. Joy Ramses, is that right? Andrea, Kate, on procedure, Margie.
I want to suggest that we use a procedure we've used in the past where, Richard will jot down three or four questions and then respond to them as a group rather than one at a time.
Right.
Could we do it in exactly that fashion?
Yeah, three.
Three questions and then?
Fine.
Right. So I've got Joy, Andrea, Kate, Don. That's where we are at this point. Okay, Joy.
Richard, thanks for your time here. But I first want to ask you why you think you have the right to come up and editorialize and talk about different factions as the report. This is as the interim general manager report. I would like us to, what you tell me why you think what you did in the beginning was a report versus editorializing. And I take exception to you using the them expression so much, they. I don't think it goes into a report. In your data-driven decision, did you deduct the cost of uprising and upfront from the revenue generated? That's my second question. And the third question, could you please tell us if you think overall Goldbusters was worth the investment and how much we spent on Goldbusters over the last 3 years? I'd like to hear that. And that's my three.
Andre.
I editorialized because I say this guardedly because the last time I addressed this board, I thought it was the last time, but I'm pretty sure this is the last time. I needed to say some things that perhaps I should have said long ago. I needed to outline things that I probably should have done a long time ago. In terms of report, yeah, I could read more numbers, I suppose, and be less concerned about it, but quite frankly, I think the biggest problem that we have is best addressed by those editorials in terms of the factionalism, the sense of feeling as though KPFA is something that must conform to an individual or a caucus's idea and nothing else. I didn't know quite how to say that without sounding like some kind of an editor, but by the same token, I didn't say it from any particular side. Except my own. Did I deduct the cost of uprising? Yes, I did. The cost of uprising is the board op who monitors the show and the line from L.A. That's it. We don't pay a dime to Sonali or KPFA for it. KPFK, I'm sorry. Goldbusters? I would say that, you know, in the absence of Goldbusters, Would we have done better with the money that we spent on them? No, I don't think so. I think they were able to help a fair number of folks with regard to the fundraising. I think they added some structure. I think they brought up, and judging from what they've said in the report they're going to send, I think they brought up some things that explain why things didn't go as well as they should have and how that can be corrected for the future. So considering we spent on them less than half of what we would on a development director, yeah, I'd say probably we come out ahead.
Oh my God. All right.
I asked him about upfront, too. What did you ask? The cost of upfront. That was in my question.
Yes, yes. Upfront generates more than three times what it costs us to produce it.
Okay, let me just notice that if each person who speaks asks three questions or four questions, then we're not accomplishing what we hoped by the procedural thing. So we'll just notice this as we go forward, that's all. Andrea.
Thank you, and Richard, thank you for coming here and thank you for your report. And I actually appreciated hearing your thinking. It actually helps me a lot. My questions have to do with a variety of topics. One is, what is the status of program counsel? I can't help but feel that so much of this acrimony and debate and so forth could have been preempted had we had some process for trying to find that balance between pragmatism and idealism and living into the mission. I'm interested in your thoughts about local programming. I've heard and I know that that's the crux of the issue, because at this point, as a member of the local community, i.e. I live in Berkeley, I don't know how to get Berkeley stories on my community radio station. And so understanding that you're approaching this in sort of a objective, on some level, objective formulas that you're working as a manager, there's also this issue of the dire need of this community to have access to the airwaves for issues, local issues that we're dealing with. There's also a question of when we will be getting a general manager. It feels a bit like we can't really move forward on some projects because I feel hesitant to approach you about development stuff because I figure you must be maxed out working between two stations. And so it really feels like we're on hold with some of these projects. And I'm also concerned about the development piece. You know, we have a budgeting process coming up. The question, you know, our annual request for a development director, even though a development director would have been more costly, my question is, would more projects actually have been anchored and able to, you know, yeah, they would have, had we had a development director. I think it's hard to compare, but I think we would have been in a different situation where a lot of different types of projects could have been launched. So thank you.
Okay. Those are four questions, okay? The status of the program council, there was a vote taken some time ago by the PNB to establish them. Sure. The PNB took a vote to reestablish programming councils at all five stations. The PNB then directed the ED to try and flesh out the proposal in terms of structuring them so that they wouldn't be subject to politics and see how they could best be implemented at the stations, in what form. My understanding is it still lies with the ED. It's not something that the network told the individual stations to do. The network told the ED to do it. With regard to local programming, it's vital. It certainly is. The problem is, when you look at that signal coverage, and again, we're talking about over the air, we need to understand how important the web audience is, both live web streaming and archived. More and more people are getting their information that way at the time of their choosing. Very few people, even if they're watching primetime television in prime time, are watching what's being offered at that time. And more people are accessing all content in that same manner, and we make it possible. So when we talk about simply over the air, that's where we're talking about the scheduling. I think it would be great to do more local programming, more locally focused programming, and I think we should get a lot more of it onto KPFB. That is ready to receive recorded programming. We can put on any program we want at any time, and it would be best to put as hyper-local as we can on that, considering the coverage area. By the way, the coverage area for KPFB is on the back of KPFA. Again, it will have to be recorded programming, and we do not now have money, obviously, to spend on the generation of that programming other than the resources that now exist at the station. But it is ready to go. We need people to generate the programming and submit it. We need them to generate the program ideas and submit it. The new GM, I spoke with Bernard about this. He tells me that he and the candidate have reached agreement on it, on the decision. The candidate now has to give notice to his current employer, and I don't know if that's been done yet. My feeling was that Bernard was hesitant to make an announcement in advance of the candidate giving notice, fearing that the candidate's employer would read about it before the candidate had a chance to tell him. So I don't know what the holdup in the process is. Bernard could probably be the best one to address that. But when I asked Bernard about my schedule and the commuting back and forth between L.A. and Berkeley, he did say that the notice period that the candidate would be required to give should be 4 weeks or less. So that's kind of what I'm banking on. In terms of the development director, yeah, if you get the right development director, he or she is worth far more than what you're going to pay them. But the decision, from what I understand at the time, was that Andrew said we didn't have the money, or it was determined that we didn't have the money, to pay a full-time development director, and that he felt that Goldbusters was the best we could get for what we could afford at that time. I would strongly recommend that as soon as possible, the station get a director of development and marketing, because both are vital. And again, a competent person in that position is worth far more than what you will pay them. If you can't do it at the station level, it may be more effective to at least try to do it at the network level and have it coordinate all five stations. That would certainly help as well.
Yes.
I just want to ask people.
You gotta use the mic.
Sorry.
I know.
Wait,
it's
a minute.
Hard. What's going on down there, Joy? Can you?
Thank you. Sorry. I just want to urge people to try and just ask one question, because I think we're going to have a really hard time getting through this in a reason. We're already a half hour behind schedule, and I have no interest in cutting off time. I want people to ask their questions, and I want Richard to answer them. But I feel like, you know, one question, really. Okay. If you can. Okay.
Is this on procedure? Oh, well, you're not. You're in the list. You're on the line. You're welcome. Kate. Microphone.
Well, I'm not going to burn up any time at all. I just want to say thank you and quote Shakespeare that nothing becomes your holding of this job like your leaving of it.
Don.
Since this will probably be your last appearance before us, I do want to commend what you have tried to do over this past year when you were brought in under difficult circumstances to begin with. And yet another sloppy effort to play politics at this station. Nothing to do with you, and I'm glad you have stayed above the fray, because indeed there are two warring factions, not only here but throughout the entire network. And I appreciate your bringing up WBAI several times, because folks here in this room, especially the listeners, need to take a real deep look at what is happening there and just how well that station is performing, so much so that its entire paid staff was wiped out last fall because of 10 years of factional feuding. And I think, yes, that could be very well the destiny of this network. If we can't find a way, those of us who all consider ourselves on the left, to begin to figure out how to work together and to develop the hybrid mix of programming at the station and the network that will serve the listenership and the communities, the various communities that listen to this station and the network. So my question, Richard, is when did you first suggest the programming changes that recently took place? And weren't there indeed a number of conversations that took place between you and staff?
Oh.
Wait. You're gathering questions. Janet.
Hi. So, Richard,
Would you describe how you see the difference between public radio, a public radio model, and community radio, and how you have been influenced by the Healthy Station Project, if you have been?
Jack.
Actually, that's three questions.
So,
my cough was three questions.
No, we've got three questions.
One from Don,
two from Janet.
Talk about briefly stated. All right.
Okay.
I began program changes to the entire schedule last year, probably last fall. It was a rather long and ongoing process. It involved talking with any number of people and any number of groups, both representing this particular board, representing various caucuses within the station, the Amandla Project and things like that. I talked, aside from Andre Soto, who is right, I think we have never had any long discussion until just very recently. I've talked with just about everybody at the station in one way or another about programming. So in terms of putting out the suggested schedule changes, those have been up, as I say, since last fall. We've been talking back and forth with any number of people in groups, and they certainly knew what it was I was trying to accomplish. And as I say, it was pretty much that both caucuses that I'm aware of found fault with some of the changes and were favorably impressed with a few of them. I guess that's the way it's going to be at KPFA. I can't imagine, as I say, I'm not aware of consensus. And I don't even know if it's possible for folks to accept the fact that they're going to have programming that maybe doesn't reflect them or doesn't interest them, just so they can have the programming that does reflect them and does interest them. But in terms of communication, it's been an ongoing process. I've made no secret about the desires for change, and I've posted publicly the changes I wanted to make. I would also say one thing, too. I'll end it there. With regard to public radio versus community radio, there seems to be kind of a blurred line that is effective for both, because more and more public radio is essentially deciding that it is public during drive time and then less public at other times. They are still not focusing locally as much as they should. But there are more and more attempts in especially the smaller markets where that's happening in public radio. In community radio, this is critical. There has to be a greater balance than there is in public radio. And when I say public radio, I mean NPR. Is that the... Yeah. There has to be a balance because we don't have the audience size. We share the listenership with public radio. Most people who listen to community media do not necessarily listen to commercial radio when they're not listening to community media. They are listening to public radio. So we have to provide more of a balance. We need to take a look at what public radio is doing periodically and decide we're probably better off offering something that's a bit different at that time. And to be sure, when we can, when we have the outlets available to us like KPFB and the web stream and podcasting, we need to try and focus on local issues, but we have to make sure that we make them in some way appealing beyond the local region that they're dealing with when we put them out over the air over such a large coverage area. Those are the differences I see. With regard to the Healthy Stations Project, I think it was... it was an attempt to do something to make one size fits all, and it didn't quite make it. There were certain things that it put out that seemed to be of value for certain markets and certain stations. That would take a long time.
No. Okay. I'll
look it up. But I do think there is some value in looking at studies like that and then matching them up against what it is a station is doing and what it is trying to do and see if it works. That's it.
Jack.
First, the preamble. Before the preamble, enormous thanks, Richard, for your service and your report. I appreciate both more deeply than I can express. Preamble. It seems that all of us, in different ways, have different or differing views about whom the broadcasting on KPFA should be addressing. And it seems to me that those differing views come from the place that we sit in the, if you'll excuse the expression, community, or in the political spectrum. That's what we see where we are. But as members of the board, it seems to me that we have to have a greater vision than looking at the world from the bottom of a well. I think Chairman Mao said something like that. So is there a way that, and here's my question, is there a way that management can provide to the board on a regular basis which programs have the largest listenership and what kind of listenership each of the programs have, both broadcast and online, what kinds of fundraising capacity each of the programs have, so that as a board, as a, you know, we're able to more appreciate what kinds of considerations management has to be making in order to guarantee the overall health of the station. Without that information, which in my now interminably long 4 years on the board, what we have is a discussion of personal preferences and sort of ideologically driven desires, but not an overall picture. Can such a picture be given to us?
Virginia, all right. Ramses.
Yeah, so first I want to point out we're actually running about an hour behind on our agenda. I mean, if the manager's reports, well, 30 minutes, right? We're like 30 minutes behind, right? Okay. And I'm like very interested in getting to the later parts of the agenda to get into the resolutions. But I want to say I recognize a lot of the comments made in this, you know, report by members of the board and folks asking questions about it. I don't have a question. I honestly feel like the report from Richard is disrespectful and condescending, and it's polarizing. And I have to say that. And I have never seen at this level of a board, you know, a report like that before. Right, and I feel like in the 20 to 30 minutes that report lasted, he only needed like 5 to 10 to really report the things that were important to us, you know, in here, and not give us this whole, you know, editorial, I guess, of like all our drama and everything, because I actually want to recognize that that's part of the organization, listeners, unpaid staff, volunteers, you know, paid staff and the board and everything. That is our struggle. We're dealing with it. But I don't expect that from the management that we hire in the organization to bring that into this, right? And And like I feel like the room was somewhat divided at the end of that report, right? Like some were kind of shocked, and others were like, you know, feeling like you were validated because you're upset about things too, and that's valid too, and that was reflected in Richard's report. You know, a lot of your frustrations with things that you think should be happening that you feel others don't, right? And I think that's for us, you know, outside of management to deal with, right? So that's my comment on that, and I just want to propose that maybe we, you know, raise our hands and finish the list, you know, and try to keep going with the agenda so we can get to the parts that especially folks who came to do public comment want to see us do, like, entertain the resolutions, you know, later in the agenda.
Craig.
Richard. one of the statements that has been made in defense of the morning mix has been that the station didn't provide the training or the resources, the promotion, and support to enable the program to become a success. And I imagine that claim extends over the three-year life of the program. And I'm just curious what your response is to that.
I think we have two questions so far. And Andrea.
Thank you. This isn't a question.
Oh, wait a minute. Lewis is next because you've spoken already.
Yeah, I just want to read. I just want to Frank Sterling. Just point of information. He just sent his thoughts. He couldn't be here, but he was hoping that I might be able to read what he wrote to the board. Just as a
point of order.
Wait a minute. Next, Lewis is next. Yes. Point of order.
We do not recognize proxy with a specific organization. Frank Sterling's comments are out of order.
Comments are not out of order. He's not asking for any.
Wait, just relax. Just relax. Let's just. Okay. Lewis is next because Lewis hasn't spoken.
Lewis,
you have to use the mic.
I suggest that we move to item 8 on the agenda.
Does Frank's comments have a question, or are they comments?
It's a comment.
All right, I want the answers to the questions to be answered by Richard. Go ahead, Richard.
The answer is yes. There is a way that management can do this. One. To Jack's question about whether management can put forth information to the board.
About
data that would drive scheduling and programming and things like that. Yes, it can be done. One thing that would really help is if KPFA were to get the Nielsen audio numbers. There are problems with the way they gather the information. There are some paradigms that one could question, but it is the yardstick by which we measure listenership, and that is important. It also gives us demographics, which are very helpful to us. So one thing we need to do is buy the Arbitron numbers. The problem is that they're very expensive, even going through the Radio Research Consortium. Some time ago, when Summer Reese was the ED, she approached the RRC to see if we could all five stations get some kind of a group rate. And they said they would not even talk about it until BAI and WPFW paid them the money that they were owed. That didn't happen yet. We do have listener stream numbers available that could be of some use. We do have a way of measuring how much a program costs us and how much it generates during the fund drive. There are ways of refining those things as well. For example, I do have to tell you, aside from the Arbitrons or Nielsen Audios, when I was working on the schedule changes, and especially when I had to make my presentations to Summer Reese as ED, we had all this information. We went over it. For figuring out how much a program costs, one of the things that we do is we take the salaries involved and we take the benefits involved of the people who are doing the show, the producers, the programmers, everything. And then we take the monies that are raised during the fund drive for those shows. Now, one of the things that would help us is if we made certain, both online and with the phone answerers,
if people were to say, I am pledging for this show, or I am pledging for these shows, just because you call during a certain show, that does not necessarily mean you are supporting that show. It could mean that that is the premium or thank you gift that you wish to have. It could mean that that's when you have the time to call. So it would be a good idea to make sure that we ask people which shows they support. That would be a better way of determining how much money a given show is generating. Summer Reese suggested also, and I think she said this in her email, that we also, in terms of what a program costs us, we should also include the cost of the premiums and the cost of sending the premiums out. All of these factor into how much a show costs us. That gets a bit difficult, but it is doable. It is doable. So, yes, I think if you're considering schedule changes, and I would suggest that you do, you can set up a procedure that involves these numbers, and you can work with the ED and the GM to look at the numbers and try and understand the process. Ramses, I am sorry about being disrespectful and polarizing. That wasn't my objective. My objective was to put information out, and I'm afraid I've been here over a year and have lost a fair amount of civility and objectivity about certain things. It's very difficult to discuss some of the problems that are still facing this station and the network, and to recognize that they could have been addressed a long time ago. And it gets very frustrating, and I think maybe some of that disrespect that you heard is more or less frustration than anything else. With regard to training and resources, Craig, the station has any number of physical resources, computers, engineering studios, things like that, and all programmers have access to them. With regard to paid producers, no, the Morning Mix did not have any paid producers. It was volunteer, unpaid staff programming all the way through. At one point, I was told that this was actually very important. And I should qualify that, though, because obviously all the Morning Mix programs had a board op. But this, a paid board op, yes. At one point, there was a member of UPSO who told me that it was important that the Morning Mix be unpaid programming. And the reason for this was that we needed to make a statement by putting unpaid programmers on at the most important hour of the day. We were making the statement that unpaid programmers are just as important as paid programmers. I'm not quite sure who it was that we were making that statement to, because we don't make a practice of announcing which programmers are paid or unpaid, or which programs have paid producers or unpaid producers. The Morning Mix, some of the shows have benefited from Anthony doing unpaid production work for them. So should we start adding more human resources to unpaid programming? Should we have paid producers contributing to these shows? If we have the money, if that's the best use of that money, I have to tell you, from a management standpoint, usually the way you do it is, if I have to pay for something, I do. If I don't have to, I try not to. I do think that in some way, when we were talking about standards, if we were to set up why we pay people and why we don't, or how many hours we pay somebody for generating a specific amount of programming. We don't have any standards in that regard. So with those other standards, I think you might want to set up, do we want at least some paid production made available to unpaid programmers, and see how that could be budgeted. Lewis, I don't know what number 8 is. What is item 8? Oh. Amen.
Okay, now I'm going to rule, not because it's proxy, but because this item is the general manager's report, and that is the report plus questions. And you said that Frank's statement is not a question. So, and because we're 40 minutes behind, what?
Okay, I'll get it.
Joy, what?
I do understand what you're saying, Carol, but everyone else who asked a question also made their comment first, number one. And number two, there is nothing against proxy comments. This proxy voting is not allowed. But can we, Frank is a member of this body, and his comments are important, and I think we can take a minute to hear it.
Is it on the subject of the general manager's
yes.
report?
Andrea?
To some items contained in the report, yeah.
How long would it take?
A minute.
Can we give
Go
Frank
ahead.
A minute?
Frank wanted me to tell you he's pissed off. Like many people around and involved in KPFA, I was really surprised and disappointed and upset at the decision and the process involved in eliminating the morning mix. There was a huge backlash to the initial program changes put forth management in late 2013 and early 2014 due to lack of process and input from the listening community. It seems now that certain people think this change is what we need. They can just do it on their own, again, with no consideration of the unpaid staff who dedicate themselves to KPFA or to the listeners that support the station financially. If you look into their reasoning, it seems to be completely financial. No one took the listeners into account. Or they did, yes, it seems they did. They are relying on the money the listeners will donate. So it has become now that the listeners serve KPFA with their money. But KPFA won't serve the community with community-based programming. One look at the Save KPFA web mailer and we can see who is making the calls here. It seems, again, that what they think is right is the only way to go. If anyone disagrees, well, just too bad for them. Well, I urge the LSB and management to work out a solution that keeps the morning mix. Do we really need two Democracy Nows every day? There are solutions that could be more inclusive. If management had the will, there is a better way. Do we really want to welcome a new manager into a battle royal? Please reconsider this awful decision and make it right before there is even more unrest at the station. I, for one, encourage resistance to this decision and do whatever it takes to make management and the other decision makers see the error in the way this was done. That's from Frank Sterling.
Richard, I think you have a right to a reply.
The listener numbers that we have come from the stream. The numbers generated by Uprising are consistently higher than generated by the morning mix. The revenues generated by Uprising are considerably higher. Even down at KPFK, and I have to tell you folks, when you make somebody the manager at two stations, he has to look out for both stations.
No crosstalk, let's go.
So, quite frankly, the fact that not only did Uprising make money up here at A, but that it made twice as much down in Los Angeles as it usually does, is something that was very important. And this is critically important because when WBAI needed payroll, and when PFW needed payroll, and when loans were needed, and when the national office needed money that it wasn't getting from KPFT, it kept coming to KPFA, and it kept coming to KPFK, and we had no choice whatsoever but to turn the money over. Money is vital. And both A and K are struggling because they both have had to give up so much money to support other aspects of the network. So when Frank is concerned about generating money and that being the reason for making programming changes, I fully support him. I think it would be wonderful if you could completely take that out of the equation. Make all of our funds off-air revenue and stop subsidizing failure elsewhere in the network. But that's not the way it is now. I don't manage hypothetically. I manage what I'm given to work with. And so
if I want the two stations that I'm charged with managing to keep afloat, if I want to be able to give the money that the national office demands of us and still keep those stations afloat, then that's what I have to do.
We are now on break, and it is... okay, sorry.
Could I make an announcement for what's going to happen after the break?
Okay. The next thing on the agenda you'll see is the treasurer's report, and I have one document. I have many things to hand out to you today, so I'd like to hand out this first document now, and this will be what we'll deal with in the first part of what we're going to talk about money. Every LSB member should have a copy, and there should be enough for almost all the audience. Some of you might have to share. Craig, oh, he's...
It is... what? Okay, there's some food in the back. It is 1:17. I expect us to be in session at, and actually talking at 1:30.